Jesus, I thank you that you are good. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for rising for us. Thank you for giving us your Spirit. Thank you that the gospel is really, really good news. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your peace, God. Father, I pray that, Lord, the words that come out of my mouth would be honoring to you. God, that they would be your words, that you would fill me with your Spirit, that you would flow through me. God, that you would speak to every single person here, including myself, that you would make us more and more into your image, which is your plan from the beginning. God, transform us into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name. Well, if what I have to say doesn't make you love Jesus more at the end of the day, then don't listen to what I have to say, because it's not worth it. So this is basically just some things that I've been meditating on and studying on, and we'll see where it goes. If you want to turn, you can turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20, starting in verse 30. John chapter 20, verse 30, and we'll read 31 as well. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. And so I started to think, man, do I really believe? Do I really, really believe? I mean, I believe in my head, yes, Jesus, he died for my sin and for the sin of the world, and he died so that I could be restored to the Father. He resurrected. I believe that intellectually, I believe it. But do I really believe it? Because does my life look like Jesus' life? Jesus said in... let me get the reference. Have it somewhere. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in the one whom he has sent." So all of the work that we do, all of the good things that we do, like, this is the work of God. Believe. That's it. That, if you wanted to title this message, that's what it would be. Just believe. Just believe. Believe in what? Believe in who? Believe in Jesus, right? Okay, Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem us, to restore us back to the Father. He so values you. He so values us. Do we believe it? Do I walk daily, every single moment of the day, really truly believing in my heart that I'm loved by the Father, that I'm like, that he's not disappointed in me. He's not disappointed in you. I think that's something that I wrestle with so much. It's like, what am I thinking? The proof of God's love is that he died for me. That's it. Point blank. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life," right? It's all about belief. Believe in him. Do I believe in him? Do I believe that I'm truly valued by the Father? What else to believe in? Believe in the gospel. It's the good news. Jesus went around and he preached the gospel, right? And we have this idea that, oh yeah, the gospel is that, you know, we're loved by God, but we're sinful, so we're separated from God, and Jesus came, and he died for us, and he took all of our sin on the cross, and he buried it with him, and then he resurrected to give us new life, and now if we believe in him, we'll have eternal life in him, right? That's what we hear as the gospel, but Jesus went around preaching the gospel. He told his disciples to preach the gospel. He didn't even die yet. So what was he preaching? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is here. So basically, once we belonged in the kingdom of darkness, right? The kingdom of the enemy, right? And the devil was our father, basically. We were owned by him. But we played by his rules. We did his works. Jesus purchased us with his blood. We no longer are in the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of the Son of God. We're under his rule. In the kingdom, you're a son. So he went around preaching this, that, well, obviously he didn't die yet, so he wasn't preaching that it's by my blood. But like, he went around talking about the kingdom of God is here. And what did he do? He brought the kingdom wherever he went. And the kingdom is love, period. He brought love. And he walked around to people and he healed them of their diseases. He healed them of all their diseases. He just loved on people. And that's what the kingdom is. And if we believe in Jesus, then we should look like him and we should bring the kingdom. We should believe that we're sons and daughters. And that we're his, man, that we can do the same thing that he did. If we believe in him, we have authority. We have the authority to loose on earth what is already loosed in heaven, right? Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Do I believe what Jesus said? Jesus said, and if I read, I mean, John, when he wrote the book of John, he wrote it like it. We read earlier. He wrote it that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing we would have life in his name. And the word believe is all throughout the book of John. And I actually did a word count. One day I was like, man, I see this word everywhere. I just got to count it. So I counted the word believe or believed or believing, and it shows up 95 times in the book of John alone. So it must be important, right? Jesus said so many times, man, if you only believe, just believe. He said, this is amazing to me. He said in John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do I believe that? Do I really believe that? Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. Am I doing the work that Jesus did? Am I walking the same walk that Jesus did? The book of 1 John. Where is it? In the book of 1 John, he says, I can't find it right now, but basically, it says that if we love God, we will walk as Jesus walked. Like, do I walk as Jesus walked? Again, these are just thoughts that God has been speaking to me. Something I was thinking about today in the worship, and also just in being a mom and the thoughts that God has put in my heart, is like the idea of a child. Like Jesus said, you know, unless you become like one of these, you'll never enter the kingdom. And like, just think about it. Like, was watching Emmy dance up here. It's like, children believe. Like, you tell them something and they believe you. Do I really believe what Jesus said? Children don't complicate things. They don't make things complicated. They don't think, oh, are you really lying to me? I'm not really sure. You know, like, they just believe. They take you at your word. Do you take Jesus at his word? Do I take Jesus at his word? He said, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Am I doing the works that he does? He said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. man, do I really believe that whatever I ask in his name, he's going to do? My thoughts are kind of all over the place, but I don't know. It's just basically the idea, the message, the thing that I've been thinking on for so long is, do I believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that he loves you, or is it based on feeling? Because today I can tell you, I don't feel the love of God, but I believe that he loves me. Why? Because for God so loved the world. For God was so frustrated with me that he sent his son. No, God's not frustrated with me. God's not disappointed in me. He loved me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his son for you. Do you believe that? Or do you wait for a feeling? Or do you wait for a prophetic word? Like God has given me prophetic words, like, and things have come to pass and it's been awesome, but I don't use that to base, you know, like whether or not God loves me. I can't do that. I base it on his word. Do I base whether or not God loves me on his feelings on the feelings I get? When do I get goosebumps in worship? Like, thank you, God, when I feel your presence. I love to feel God's presence. It's not a bad thing to feel God's presence. But do you believe that he loves you when you don't feel his presence? The other thing that I was thinking, because John says in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, well, 31 really, it says, but these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the result of believing, that you'd have life. He's not talking about just dying and going to heaven. He's talking about life now. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except but by me. He's not talking about going to heaven one day. He's talking about restoring you back to the relationship with the Father, having communion with him, being one with him. He's the life. That is life. Having relationship with Jesus and having communion and fellowship with him, that is life. He said, I came so that you may have life and have it to the full. Do you have life? Do you have it to the full? And I'm speaking this to me too. Like, I mean, if you're feeling convicted, I feel convicted too. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's not like I'm condemning you or anything like that. It's just, do we believe? Do I have full abundant life? Am I walking in the abundance that God has for me? And he's not talking about possessions, material possessions, although God, you know, I believe God blesses us. But he's talking about abundance of actual life, and that life is in him, and it's in fellowship with him, it's in communion with him, it's in the secret place with him. It's in reading the scriptures. It's in getting in this book. I'm speaking to myself, so. Here's the other thing that got me. It says that by believing you would have life in his name. It's not just by believing you would have life, that you'd live a good life. By believing you'd have life in his name. It's not your life anymore. Not your life. You don't live your life. We declared a declaration. I am dead to sin. I'm dead to myself, my old self. I'm alive to God in Jesus Christ. It's not my life anymore. Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. He's not talking about dying physically, although, you know, there have been people who have done that, and Jesus died physically for us, right? But he's not talking about that. He's talking about, like, dying to yourself, giving up your rights. It's not your rights anymore. It's Jesus. Jesus coming to live inside of you and living his life through you. That's why he says, if you believe that, what did he say? If whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. He said, in my name. It's not in your name. It's not It's not, oh, if I believe that, you know, I don't know. If I believe that God's going to bless me with a better job and, you know, like, that's not a bad thing. But if I believe that God's going to bless me with, like, $100 or $1,000 or whatever, you know, more than what I'm making now, you know, that I'm going to have it. No, he said, whatever you ask in my name, it's as though he were asking it. If I were to write a check in Lisa's name, right? If Lisa gave me the permission to write a check in her name, it's as though she wrote the check, right? Yeah. So it's the same thing with Jesus. It's as though he himself is asking it. Is it his will? You know, for what you're asking, is that his will? You were bought with a price. The life you have isn't really living anyway, right? The life that he has is worth living. I wrote this down. Die already. I need to remind myself, like, just die already. Why are you dragging it around? Like, man, you know, you wake up with a bad mood or whatever. Like, just die already. Nobody should walk around with a bad mood or a bad attitude. Like, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. He lives in you. The living God lives, like, the Almighty God chose to live in you. He's pleased with you. Why else would he choose to live in you? And the only way he's going to live through me and shine through me is if I die already. Like, why do you think it's called being born again? Like, right? Born. Jesus said you must be born again. Like, because he couldn't fix up the old you. There's nothing to fix up there. You had to die in order for you to be reborn, to have new life. Some of us are walking around with Jesus as like a add-on or like a band-aid or something. Like, no, just kill off the old self, the bad attitude, the anger, the frustration, the, you know, disappointment. Just throw it off and just thank Jesus that he's living in you. Thank Jesus that he died for you, and then walk as though he walked. If you're walking around miserable, I'd venture to say you don't have life. You don't have abundant life, at least. I'm speaking this to myself, you know. There are days when I walk around and I'm like moping. And then, you know, it's like, wake up, Christine. Like, Jesus died for you. He lives in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. The same one. That's scripture. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. He lives in me. I shouldn't be miserable. I shouldn't be complaining. I shouldn't, you know, like, and this is not to, like, make you feel bad or make me feel bad. Like, just throw it off. He gave us the freedom to. He died for us. I mean, Paul, look at Paul. This mind blows me. Paul was beaten, shipwrecked, stoned, in prison, like, you know, and then he wrote, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. He sat in a prison among filth, his own feces and urine in there. When we think of prison, we think of, like, you know, he's sitting in a bed and there's a toilet there and, you know, like a TV. And no, like, their prisons were like a stone hole with chains and nowhere to go to the bathroom, and it's disgusting in there. And he's writing, rejoice always. I'm pretty sure he's got something that I don't have, or like he understands something that I don't understand, because he's writing that from a prison. So if he's saying that we can rejoice in that circumstance, then I'm pretty sure that I can rejoice in the job that I have when somebody's like angry with me or upset with me for doing something, or you know, like, I'm pretty sure that I can rejoice when my son is not wanting to go to sleep and it's really frustrating because it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm tired and I want to sleep. And instead of being frustrated and upset that I can't sleep, I should rejoice because I have life in his name and Jesus died for me. And that's it, done. He died for me. He rose for me, and now he lives in me. Why in the world would I be miserable? What do I have to be miserable about? I'm not sitting in a prison among my own feces and urine. He definitely had a revelation that maybe we don't have. We get upset when we're treated bad by someone. We get upset when we're cut off on the road. We get offended with each other. Man, if I were to count how many times I've been offended because my husband said something to me or like didn't do something, whatever. Like, that's so stupid. You know how much grace he's given me? Man, this man has given me a lot of grace. Let's just say that. I shouldn't get offended. I should just, if I believed, if I truly believed the word of God, if I truly believed what Jesus said, then I would have no right to be offended. I have no right to be upset, no right to be miserable. Because why? He came that I would have abundant life. Here, let's go to, this is kind of all over the place, and I hope you're getting something out of it, but Acts chapter 2, I love this. I want to live like this, man. I want to become this. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I wonder if abundant life produces radical Christianity. I mean, it says, and all who believed, they had all things in common. They believed, right? And day by day, like, God added to their number daily those who were being saved. That seems radical to me. If we really believe what Jesus said, we'd be doing every single thing that the disciples are doing. Because the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Well, what did he command them? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, love one another. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you would love one another. Love. Right? If I'm really, really, really believing the truth of what Jesus said, then I'm going to live like this. If Christianity is not radical, then it's not, I would say that it's not Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. Jesus, look at Jesus' life. Was it radical? Was Jesus radical? He was killed because he was so radical. Like they wanted to kill him. Every time he came into the temple to preach or teach or whatever, they wanted to kill him. It's radical to me. The disciples, were they radical? Every single one of them were persecuted. John was boiled. The same one who wrote this book, the book of John, the one who's, you know, saying that the one whom Jesus loved. He calls himself that. I'm the one who Jesus loved. The one who says that, you know, these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ. This John was boiled in oil. I'm pretty sure that he believed something that transformed his life. If he was willing to go through all of that. And then at the end of it, because they couldn't kill him because they boiled him in oil, they just decided to leave him off at the island of Patmos. And that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. That's pretty cool. Your whole skin is fried. You're a French fry. And you write the book of Revelation. You don't sit there moping. Oh, they killed me. They tried to kill me and they boiled my skin in oil. Like, no. He was in the Lord's presence and he was enjoying the fullness of God. And And he wrote the book of Revelation. I'm pretty sure there's something that he got that I don't get. And I want to get it. And I believe that it's for us. I believe that we can get it. You know, being radical is obviously going to look different for each of us. Like, I don't have to look the same way Laura looks when she goes to work or whatever, or the same way John Michael looks. Like, I'm not going to, the way that his life in me is going to look different from the way his life looks in you and his life looks in you, but it's still his life. It's still going to be radical. You can possess the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 3:19. I'll turn to it because it's good. I forgot where Ephesians was for a second. No, just kidding. Ephesians 3:19. Well, he's praying for the Ephesians, and then he says, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm pretty sure Paul in prison was filled. John 3:24, he gives the Spirit without measure. You can live as Jesus lived. Do you believe it? You can live the same thing. You can live it. You can live just like Jesus lived. Do you believe it? Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, I like the way it says it in the Passion Translation, so I'm going to read that. Did you know that they came out with a Passion Translation in the YouVersion in the Bible app? It's pretty awesome. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Oh, I'm in John chapter 2. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry. That's the thing with the Bible app. It's like sometimes you press something and then you're like, wait a minute. I do like the actual Bible where you can flip pages, highlight, you know. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. In another version, it says, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled in him. Why do you think he placed his Spirit inside of you? The same Spirit, like I said, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he lives in you. So if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, can you live completely free from sin, completely free from offense, completely free from bitterness, completely free from anger? Like, can we do it? Can we, if the Spirit of God lives in us, like, yeah, I might say that, you know, I'm not going to, we might slip up here and there, but that's why, you know, if we're faithful, if he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. But he gave us his Spirit, so it's possible that I can live like Jesus lived. He lives in me. Can I live a life free from having to be right all the time? Man. I know, I need to say it, especially since I'm married to Daniel. Can I live a life free from having to be right all the time? Yeah. Did Jesus live his life like that? Did he have to be right all the time? Did he have to win the argument? He was silent before before the slaughter. Can I live free from having a pity me, victim mentality, woe is me? Yeah. You know how to have life with him? Because this is there's hope in this. There's not like, oh, crap, I feel so crappy right now because this is cutting me. No, there's hope. You know how to have life in him? The key is in him. It's in him. Believe. Just believe. Believe in him. Abide in him. Know him. You know how to do that? You commune with him. You spend time with him. You get in his presence. You read the word. It's not just how much you read the word. It's not like, oh, I got to read 3 chapters a day or else God's going to be displeased with me. No. I could read one verse and just bask in the presence of God and just, oh, Father, thank you so much that you love me. Thank you so much that you sent your son for me. Thank you so much that you're pleased with me, not because of anything I did for you, but because of everything you did for me. That's it. Just spend time with him. You become what you behold. This is another thing I was thinking about. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. And we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is a spirit. Another way that it's translated is and we all with unveiled face reflecting the glory of the Lord. Beholding and reflecting. It's like the same thing. You look at Jesus or you look at God, and it's like you should be looking into a mirror, basically, because you'll be transformed by him as you gaze upon him. His goodness and his love is so overpowering and so overwhelming that the more you look at him, the more that you become like him. The Spirit does this. It says, at the end of that verse, it says, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, right? He gives us the Spirit. We have a Spirit. I'm reading my notes and I'm like, I don't even know where I was going with this, but we'll go there. It's okay. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give him will never be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of life welling up to eternal life. He's talking about the Spirit. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. There goes that word again, believes. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The Spirit. He was talking about the Spirit. He gives the Spirit freely. How do you receive the Spirit of God? You believe. Believe. Luke 11, verse 13, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just ask and believe. He said it. If he said it, I should believe it. I'm a Christian, right? Christian means Christ follower. I claim to believe everything that he said. 1 John chapter 5, 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we asked of him. Is it his will for you to have the Spirit? Then you know you have it, right? If you ask. He said it right there. Is it his will for you to be made in his image? The scripture says that you were predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You know what that means? That means it was plan A. It was plan A for Jesus to die for you so that he could rise and that he could make you into his image. You know how I know it? Because it says it. It says it in Revelation 2 and I think somewhere else that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. If he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, then that means we didn't even have a chance to sin yet and he's slain. It was predestined for us to look like Jesus. Do I look like Jesus? Do I believe? Behold him, gaze upon him. Remind yourself of the love of Jesus daily. Get happy in Jesus. You're having a bad day? Stop it. Just stop. Stop for a second and get happy in Jesus. Say, stop thinking about yourself and get happy in Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. Nothing else matters. Think about Mary and Martha. And I feel like I'm always like relating to Martha, but like, man, I want to, you know, sit at Jesus' feet. Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has found it. It won't be taken away from her. Man, I want to find that one thing and just be so intimate with Jesus. Sitting at his feet, communing with him, learning from him, becoming like him. Allow him to love on you. Believe. The result of believing is that you'll have life. If Jesus is the life, then that life he's talking about looks like him, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if he came to give us life that we have, it must look like him because he's the life. Oh, here it is. Sorry, I lost it. It was John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 was the verse I was looking for before. I knew I wrote it down somewhere. It said, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way in which he walked. It looks like radical love. That's what life in his name looks like. It looks like radical love. And this is what I'm learning. This is what I want. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. The disciples were radical. They believed. They believed in Jesus. They believed what Jesus said. And you know, there's hope. Because if you're feeling convicted, if you're feeling like, oh man, I didn't believe in a lot of these things because the scripture, man, I don't really look like this. I don't really look like the disciples were living. I don't really look like Jesus. And I'm not walking around healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. I'm not walking around loving people like I should. I'm walking around kind of a little bit in my own mind and in my own thinking about myself and thinking about, you know, what's going to better me, what's going to get me ahead, what's going to bless me. You know, man, I'm walking around like that. I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to love like Jesus loved. That's true love. If you're feeling kind of like that little like, not condemned, you shouldn't feel condemned, but if you're feeling convicted, there's hope. There's hope for you. Look at the disciples. They're a bunch of unbelieving unbelievers. Do you know how many times Jesus said to the disciples, oh, you of little faith, or like, why, you know, like, They were unbelievers, but then look what happens when they receive the Spirit. What do? Man, they changed the world. The reason we're sitting here now is because they went out and they changed the world. So if there's unbelief in your heart, there's hope for you. Jesus didn't give up on the disciples. He's not going to give up on you. All right, I should probably end, but... It's just a mishmash of my thoughts that I gave to you. I'm just thinking, do I really believe in this? And I'm thankful that God is not giving up on me when I have unbelief in my heart. But I have the ability and the power to believe, to walk as Jesus walked, because it says it in the Bible. It says it in the scriptures. Do I really believe what the scripture says? Man, I want to get more in the scripture. I want to get more intimate with Jesus. I want to know him more. And the way that I do that is just read read about him, read, be in his presence, read the word. Maybe it's just to steal away for a few minutes at work, to go to the bathroom for 2 seconds, not to go to the bathroom, but to just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Maybe it's you're driving in your car, and instead of being frustrated that you're late and car just cut you off, instead you're just, man, Jesus, you love me. You died for me, you rose for me, and you sent your spirit to live inside of me. You love me. You really love me. Thank you. Maybe it is. I wake up early in the morning and I spend time with him in the word. Maybe it's, you know what, I'm really tired, but I'm going to steal away for just 10 minutes, 15 minutes, a half an hour in his presence before I go to bed. Do you want to be a disciple or just a church member? I want to be a disciple. I want to believe. I'm tired of just doing church. I'm tired of just kind of going with the flow and, you know, doing the same thing. Like, I want to believe. I want to be a disciple. And disciples change the world. Disciples live like Jesus. Disciples look like Jesus. I want to look like Jesus to the people around me. The world's dying, people. He loved you so much that you're here. You could be anywhere. You're here. You're hearing the word. He chose you. And there are people at your job that he's wanting to choose and that haven't accepted him yet. There's people in your family. There's people in my family. There's people at my job. If I believe, this is what's going to happen. The fruit of it's going to be life in his name. So let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you that we can have life in your name. Thank you that we can be so intimate with you, so one with you, that we can look like you. That really is possible to look like you. Transform us, Jesus. We want to look like you. I'm tired of looking like myself. I'm tired of looking like the world. Jesus, I just pray that you would transform all of us, every single one of the people here that are hearing the words of my voice. God, would you transform us to look like your son, to live like your son, to walk with your son, to be so intimate with your son that there really isn't, that people just look at us and they all they see is Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Amen.